This is the GOAT Level Podcast with your host, the GOAT, the legend, the hero, Van Pugh.
Before I get started with the Super Bowl preview, I just want to say hi to Taylor Swift.
Aww.
What's good, girl? But anyway, enough playing around. Oh, man, Chiefs and 49ers again. Like I said in the last show, it's not what I wanted. I don't really like either team. The Chiefs, I'm kind of with y'all in a sense that I'm tired of them winning. I don't want them to become the new dynasty. I said this last year. Even with the Eagles playing them. I said this last year. I do not want the Chiefs to be the new Patriots. And you add the element of Andy Reid. Possibly. Okay, maybe that's a good thing. Andy Reid getting all these titles. Because he's such a good guy. And he did a lot for the city of Philadelphia. I just wish that with the Eagles, he did all this. I'm sick that it didn't work out. And he didn't win any rings with the Bird. And that is absurd. But it's all good. Because I'm rooting for them this year. Just a stark contrast from last year. Let's see. My disdain for the 49ers is more than the Chiefs. A lot of you probably can't even wrap your head around that. But seriously, if you've seen the amount of trash that the 49ers have talked, players and fans. I mean, Kyle is always PC. Probably behind closed doors, he's probably talking his trash too. But from the surface, it seems like he's an even-keeled, self-aware guy. But yeah, especially Debo. Debo just, he says whatever he feels. And he doesn't care who he pissed off. You know, he definitely riled up Cowboys fans. He definitely riled up Eagles fans. Bruh, the 49ers may be the only team. Okay, maybe the 2023 version of the 49ers. The 2023 49ers have got to be the only team in league history to unite Eagles and Cowboys fans together.
Damn!
Wow. I'm really messing up on the English front today. I should have said higher instead of more, and then I didn't have to say together after unite, but you get the point. Don't want the 49ers to succeed. The fans did too much. I hope they suffer. That's why I'm rooting for the Chiefs, the lesser of two evils. Like I said, some Eagles fans disagree. That's fine. We got our own problems. But for this Sunday, I'm going for the 49ers. And I think, honestly, the majority of Eagles fans, I meant going for the Chiefs. The majority of Eagles fans are going for the Chiefs. I mean, I will take. I know I didn't want to see another Chiefs dynasty, but honestly, at this point, I'd rather see the makings of a Chiefs dynasty at this point than the 49ers winning and their fans being insufferable for another year.
Facts.
I mean, if the Chiefs win it, I can say, hey, they've been on a heck of a run, and at least the 49ers didn't win. But also, I can also say that, hey, maybe this is the last time they'll go. Maybe this is the last time they'll go to the Super Bowl. So with that, I can take solace in that. Maybe it's the last time. Maybe three is it for Patrick Mahomes. Maybe three is it for Andy Reid. And I'll take that. I'll take that over a 49ers championship. For real. Now I know these guys are basically the most consistent franchises in the last 5 years. Like, the Chiefs have been to what? Four out of the last five Super Bowls? And they could have easily beat the Bengals in the one Super Bowl they didn't go to. They could have easily beat them. They could have been in 5 straight Super Bowls. That's crazy. Psych, I lied. I meant 3 out of the last 4. And then the Niners, they've been to 4 out of the last 5 NFC championships. And don't forget, they went to the NFC championship twice with Harbaugh. That's 7 times in like the last 12 years. So, I mean, the model of consistency with these guys, I guess, can be admired. But I just cannot stand the Niners, man. This year, because before, I didn't really mind. I didn't really care that much about them. I was cool with them. And I was rooting for them to win the first time when they played the Chiefs. I did. I rooted for them to win. But a lot has changed over a year. We beat them in the NFC Championship. Their fans cried. Their fans talked trash. And then they played us. And then they annihilated us, right? And then they talked even more trash. And then they're poking their chest out. They're being all cocky. I just don't like it. And I don't like these guys. Oh, they fail. Oh, they choke. And I'm just calling on Patrick Mahomes. The greatness of Patrick Mahomes is something you're going to have to deal with. It's something that is going to take me home to the path of 49ers failure and despair. And I love it. Now, let's go through the notes I've taken. I've tried to do some research. If you want to look at some extra stats and stuff about the game, NFL YouTube page has a really good preview. It's the best I've seen. So you look at that. Maybe look at some daily fantasy sports previews. They'll give you some in-depth stats. Pro Football Reference does a good job of, listing stats and the stats leaders and the last 5 matchups. You know, matter of fact, looking at this page now, last 5 matchups, Kansas City won 4 of them. And this is since 2010. They've only played 5 times since 2010. City won the last 3, and it wasn't even close. Actually, the 4 games Kansas City won against San Francisco weren't close. I mean, we'll see what happens. As far as stat leaders, you already know Patrick Mahomes. A down year, and he still threw for 4,100 yards. If you throw for 4,000 yards, unless it's a really good year for quarterbacks, you're in the top 10 in passing yards, and that's impressive. Travis Kelce, the receiving leader, because, you know, the Chiefs' receiving core is a joke. 93 receptions, 984 yards, 5 touchdowns. Another down year for him. Well, no, a down year for him too, but yet still almost had 1,000 yards. I don't know why they ain't let him get to 1,000. That's ridiculous. But I guess it worked out because he's healthy and he's playing his best ball in the playoffs. So I guess, you know, him not going too hard in that last game against the Chargers, I believe, help. Their rushing leader is Isaiah Pacheco, 205 rushing yards, 205 rushing attempts, 935 rushing yards, 7 touchdowns. They call him the Tasmanian Devil. That's a good name. He got dreads and he's moving really fast and he runs really angry. I can see how you can call him the Tasmanian Devil. That's a great nickname for him. I don't know who called him that, but it's a great nickname. Brock Purdy, he also had 4,000 yards. He had 4,280 yards, 31 touchdowns. Wow. Okay. I mean, of course, Dak Prescott had more touchdowns. Jordan Love had more touchdowns. He beat those guys, though. So it is what it is. Brandon Ayuk. 75 receptions, 1,342 yards, 7 touchdowns. That's pretty impressive. Christian McCaffrey, arguably the best player in this game. Here's his stats. 272 rushing attempts, 1,459, 14 touchdown.
Damn!
I'm sure he's had better seasons, but this is impressive. And he's been healthy pretty much the whole season, which is also impressive because he's had pretty not so good injury history. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. That's the guy you guys out. That's the guy that he can do multiple things. Run in between the tackles. He can run outside. He's a bad matchup for linebackers and safeties. He's very elusive. Like, you can use him in the passing game. You can run the ball with him. Like, very dangerous. Let's see. So, I was looking at the team ranks, right? That's very important to me. Okay, points scored per game. Kansas City, 21.8, like I said. They had a struggling offense, but it came together at the right time. San Francisco was third in points scored with 28.9. Kansas City was 15. Points allowed per game. Kansas City, second. That's huge. San Francisco, third. Literally 0.2 separating them. So you might as well say they're the same. But seriously, two solid defenses. The takeaway difference really just blew my mind. And it can be an underrated thing. And the reason why Kansas City lost their last Super Bowl is because of turnovers and Patrick Mahomes being forced to improvise a little too much. So that could be an issue in this game. I said they had a negative 11 takeaway difference, but I don't think they've turned over the ball the whole playoffs. See, they're an experienced team, and they know how to turn it up for the playoffs. Maybe they were just playing around the regular season. San Francisco, fifth in takeaway difference, plus 10. But starting with the Ravens game, honestly, the Browns game too. In the games, the Browns game, the Vikings game, the Ravens game, a lot of turnovers from them in those games. Even in Packers game, threw a big pick. The Lions game, they threw a big pick. So I'm like, yeah, they're usually good with the ball, but, you know, when they're not, that's when they get in trouble. And lately, they've been getting in trouble. And those last three games I mentioned, those are like three of their last five games. So, yeah, the numbers say that Kansas City is worse at taking care of the ball. But lately, it's been San Francisco that's been worse. I wish I had the stats for, you know, the turnover differential lately. But I don't. So, it is what it is. Let's see. Passing yards per game. Kansas City, 6th. That makes sense. You got Patrick Mahomes. San Francisco, 4th. Passing yards per game, 6th, despite them having a down year offense. Rushing yards per game, 19th. I mean, I guess. San Francisco, 3rd. Yeah, they had 140 yards rushing a game. Kansas City had 104. Defensive pass yards per game. You know, this is where I really respect Kansas City because, you know, they've been really good all year in pass defense. They have two all-pro corners in Snead and Tranquil. I think Tranquil's or no. The other guy, I forgot the other guy's name. But Tranquil's a linebacker. Oh, they go, yeah. See, Tranquil's a linebacker. But Thornhill, I think his name is Thornhill. Like, that guy, those guys are unreal. Matter of fact, let me see real quick. Because, Trent McDuffie. Yes. Trent McDuffie. Yes. So Trent McDuffie is an all pro. I think the players didn't have him all pro, or the player association didn't have him all pro, and AP did. Like, one had him, one didn't. I don't understand. Because he is the man. He's arguably been the best corner all season. And Trent McDuffie is really good, too. And they're both on the outside going against Debo and Ayuk. But Debo, he can line up anywhere. In the backfield, in the slot. You know, he's not just going to be outside. But this is going to be a tough matchup for Ayuk. Kittle, I mean, I don't know. I don't know much about – well, no. The Chiefs have a great secondary overall, okay? See what I mean? First team, first one-time All-Pro. So he's All-Pro. So they got two All-Pro corners. And that's why they're so good. I really consider them the second-best pass defense next to the Jets. Because the Browns, pass defense didn't travel. And the Panthers are the Panthers. Like, come on. So, so I really consider the Chiefs to be the second best pass defense. And that's going to be challenging for the 49ers, who, I'm going to be real with you, man. I look at all these stats, and they are top five in major offensive and defensive categories. Top five. This looks like the Eagles last year. Like, they were a really balanced team. They were good on offense and good on defense. On paper, the 49ers might be better than I thought. The eye test tells me they're overrated. They should have lost. They shouldn't have been here. They were even overrated when they beat the Eagles. I was like, the Eagles just, I don't know, they just choked. But the 49ers got exposed against the Ravens. So, I'm like, I still think, there's a part of me that still think they're overrated, but there are some things that's been concerning to me. First of all, how 49ers are top five, like I said, in top five in offense and defensive categories, like a bunch of major categories. Also, I did Madden simulations, right? I mostly did all this research so I can put together a good daily fantasy lineup. I think I'm going to be all right. I think an optimizer might be the lineup that gets me the money, but I don't know. I still want to put together a lineup where I have all this research and I can make an educated decision on what the lineup will look like. But I did some Madden simulations and I did seven of them, right? I pretty much pick a team. Then I go in, I super sim the whole game. I mean, since I'm super simming, I might as well put it on 15 minutes, right? So I super sim it. The 49ers won six out of the seven games, and four of them weren't even close.
Come on, man. He got cooked.
The one game the Chiefs won 34-7 because the defense forced three turnovers, and Patrick Mahomes threw for 400 yards, and Valdez-Scantling had like 120 yards receiving. Unbelievable. If that ends up being that type of game, boy, I'd love that. I'd love that. And I guess Valdez-Scantling could be a sleeper pick in daily fantasy if you want to go that route. I submitted a lineup that mirrored that. But Madden says the 49ers are going to win. I don't know if the official Madden simulation is going to have them winning. But six out of the seven joints I've done, 49ers have won. And four to maybe five of them weren't even close. Something I noticed in those simulations, Patrick Mahomes, he threw for like over 250 yards, for at least 250 yards, in just about all of those games. He had about like three or four 300 yard plus games. So I feel like he's going to do good. He's going to come to play. So don't worry about that. It's just the balance of the 49ers is just going to be too much. And also, I feel like they got a difference maker in Christian McCaffrey. Man. Before I give my actual prediction, though, let me give you some more notes. Finally. I keep saying I'm going to do it, but yeah. The Chiefs came back from down double digits in every playoff game in 2020, just like the Niners did this season. And they won the Super Bowl, so that could be a good thing for the Niners. The Chiefs' tackles hold a lot, say Bosa. I saw in one preview that, I think it was the NFL preview, that they do get penalized a lot. It just really depends on the referee crew in that situation. Are they going to let the holding go? Are they going to call it tight? I don't know. My gut says they're going to let it go. They're going to let some of the holding go. So they're going to have to find a way to push through that. But we'll see. Or maybe the tackles take it personal and maybe they'll dominate the 49ers D-line without much holding. We'll see. Let's see. Chiefs have won. Yeah, I said that already. 4 out of the last 5 and 3 straight. The PFF, Pro Football Focus, I believe. Yeah, Pro Football Focus. Have the O-line grades, 49ers 18th, Chiefs 3rd. Wow. I think in another preview I watched, it may have been CBS, it might have been Bleacher Report, something. Because I've watched about 5 or 6 of these previews on YouTube. It's become a habit at this point. But one of them said, basically, all the old linemen except Trent Williams are vulnerable. Like, they're not as good. And I heard something like that on Twitter. I saw something like that on Twitter, too. Even a 49er fan said, yeah, y'all haven't watched the 49ers. Their offensive line is terrible outside of Trent Williams. That's I don't know. Doesn't sound good. Now, I will say this, though. I mean, Kyle Loftus is pretty good. And the Chiefs lost another one of their DNs that got that forced fumble. He's not playing. That's big because he could have caused some problems. But Chris Jones is really going to be an issue for them. But other than that, I think it'll be a pretty even matchup. Because the D-line, outside of Kyle Loftus and Jones, like, who do you even worry about? And on the O-line, outside of Trent Williams, who do you even worry about? So I think it's even on that front. Chiefs offensive line has been good for years. I guess they were number one last year. Of course, I was on the bandwagon and blame the Arizona grass for the Eagles D-line not really getting home. But I guess it wasn't the case, you know? It's just the Chiefs offensive line was really good, and I should have gave them credit. So, there you go. And I guess the stats really, the stats really back up that the Chiefs have another really good offensive line despite losing both tackles. Now, well, remember their offensive line choked in 2020, but ever since then, it's just been an upward climb. So I think that's another reason why Patrick Mahomes is going to do well in this game because he got a pretty good offensive line. And, you know, the Tasmanian devil, Pacheco, is going to get his regardless because he runs too hard, too fast. And if he get any slither of room, it is an easy 6 or 7 yards. I'm just saying, he's just that good. Oh my god. Hey, on First Things First, they doing the most to gain Super Bowl edition. Nick Wright is in second. It's Mahomes, Nick Wright, Shanahan, Andy Reid, Purdy, Kelsey, Veach and Lynch, CMC. I guess Mahomes, it does have the most to gain because this puts him, they're already talking about him being the GOAT. They're already putting him in the GOAT conversation. But if he wins, them conversations get louder and more intense and more frequent. Now we're talking about, can he win 6? Can he win 7? I'm telling you, they win. The GOAT conversation is already getting disrespectful. But now it's going to get ridiculous. It's going to go to another stratosphere. if the Chiefs win this game and he plays well and all the simulations and stats say that he is, it's going to go to another stratosphere. And I guess I'm going to just have to live with that. As long as the 49ers don't win. That's the theme, bro. As long as the 49ers don't win. Okay, the last time the 49ers were favorites in every game, they won the Super Bowl. That was 1994. Remember that team? Steve Young, Jerry Rice. I think they had, was it Steve Atwater, or is that Denver? Or is it, I was going to say Torrey Craig. But no. Steve Young and Jerry Rice. Remember that team? Remember that team that lost to the Cowboys like twice leading up to that? And they kept knocking on the door after they had a successful, 80s run. They ran into that Cowboys, and I guess they kept running into the NFC East. The NFC East, excluding the Eagles, because Eagles couldn't get past the second round back then. They were like the Cowboys. In the present day. But I guess back then, Eagles had some exciting teams and some really good defenses, but they just couldn't really do anything significant. But the Cowboys, the Giants, and the Redskins were winning Super Bowls, and they were putting belt to behind to the 49ers. But in 94, they overcame all that, and they beat the Chargers. If I'm not mistaken, didn't they have Deion Sanders? That might have been the difference. I think they did, if I'm not mistaken. I have to go back and look, but I'm pretty sure they had Deion Sanders. So, yeah. It's lining up to be just like that. It's lining up to be just like that, but I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that's going to happen. Let's see. What else I got here? Wow. Oh, yeah. Kyle Shanahan chokes in big games. Remember the Falcons Super Bowl against Patriots? Oh, I'll never forget. I was at my aunt's house. This is the last time I've been to my aunt's house in South Carolina. I haven't been since, even though she's asked me to come there multiple times. I still haven't been. And now I got another friend that moved down there. I got to go see him. I really do. But nevertheless, the last time I was down there, I saw that Super Bowl, and I rooted for the Patriots in the second half because I wanted to see the drama. I wanted to see a comeback, and boy, they didn't disappoint, and they won the game, and boy, that was so much fun. Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator for that Falcons team. Let's not forget the 2020 Super Bowl where they had a double-digit lead. That was a funny blooper. Let's just keep it rolling. Keep it rolling. They choked. They had a double-digit lead. And then, okay, against the Rams, your man drops an interception. They could have won that. They could have won that NFC title. Choked then. Against the Eagles, they couldn't go to the Super Bowl because they couldn't block for Brock Purdy. Don't make no excuses. That's just what it is. You couldn't block for your quarterbacks. They got knocked out the game. I mean, come on. And don't let that be a problem on Sunday that your offensive line outside of Trent Williams can't handle business. That's what got you in trouble last year. And it almost got you in trouble this year. But luckily for you, you were going against inexperienced young teams that couldn't handle the pressure. And they choked. So, this time, if you come out the gate slow against this Chiefs team, you're done. The only thing, though, that might save you, and this is how the Eagles beat the Chiefs, and this is how the Ravens could have came back against the Chiefs. The Chiefs are not a good second-half scoring team. They just aren't. Remember that stat I gave you about them being worst in the league in second half points. Remember against the Eagles, they scored no second half points. Remember against the Ravens, they scored no second half points. Now, remember that they did do well against the Dolphins and the Bills, but that's different. So if that part of the Chiefs come back, then okay, they might come back. But I think this team is way too experienced. They've been on the stage too many times. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. Now, okay. Patrick Mahomes is 10-1-1 as an underdog, as a Vegas underdog, right? Or whatever you want to call it. That is impressive. Now, remember, underdogs against the Bills, underdogs against the Ravens took care of business. And I guess before that, just took care of business. The only time, was he even an underdog against Brady? I think the second time against Brady, he wasn't an underdog. But the first time against Brady in the playoffs, he was an underdog. But other than that, but no, even that game, they were at home. Like, I don't know. The Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes, they do well as an underdog. So that doesn't spell well for the 49ers. This is the 8th Super Bowl rematch in history. So you had the Pats and the Eagles. I remember that. You had the Rams and the Patriots. Okay, you had the Chiefs and 49ers. You got the Bills and the Cowboys. And this is just off the top of the dome. I'm trying to remember all of them. But those are the only ones I can remember as far as Super Bowl rematches. Maybe the Packers and the Broncos, but no, because the Broncos played against the Packers and then they played against the Falcons. Right. I can't think of, we could have had Ravens and 49ers. So it would have been a rematch either way, but only the 8th rematch in Super Bowl history. That's pretty impressive. You know, I remember at least 3 of them. I remember at least 3 of them off the top of my head. So the other ones, maybe not important. But, yeah, I think that's pretty cool. And the last note I wrote, I don't know. I think I saw this on a preview. But Utah versus Jordan analogy. The Utah Jazz in 98 had the better team and was the betting favorite. But Michael Jordan and the greatness of Michael Jordan was just too much. And you had a hobbled Scottie Pippen. And this Chiefs team just hasn't been, they weren't as good this year as they were last year. But yet the greatness of Mahomes and Reed and Kelce still has them to this point. And that's what I'm going with. I'm going to go with that. I am going with the Chiefs. I am going with the Chiefs. 27-24. It sounds like a cliche score, but screw it. I'm just going to go with it. I know it's close to what Vegas has pretty much, but that's what I'm going with. Chiefs 27, 49ers 24. Patrick Mahomes winning his 3rd title, and 49ers fans going to be sick. Tennessee Christie, Raquel, So Beautiful Me, they gonna be sick, and I love it. Hey, those my girls, but I can't stand their Niners, so they're gonna have to be sick for today. They're gonna have to be sick for some months while I be dancing on their team's grave. I wish you can see me busting moves right now. Boy, I wish I can do the park height strut.
Facts.
Boy, I can taste it, just like I did when they played against the Lions and the Packers. But this time, I really hope the Chiefs follow through, and they can. And I think they will. Even though the numbers and the Madden simulations and even Vegas tells me the 49ers are a better team and should win just because of that. No, I refuse to believe they're going to win. And the greatness of Mahomes will shine through in this Super Bowl. Yeah. So there you go, man. I'm going to enjoy the game. Oh, real quick. Prop bets. I was going to make these prop bets, but I was like, you know what? I don't want to spend too much on sports betting, so I'm going to make this fun. Now, I will do the Super Bowl squares. The Super Bowl square I'm picking is, A, I'm going with the same thing as 2020. Chiefs 1, 49ers 0. I'm going to go with that. I'm going to put my money on that. Now, the prop bets I was going to bet on, but not. Heads or tails, I'm going with heads. I was going to go with tails, but I'm going to go with heads going against the grain. I think the majority of people is going to pick tails, so I'm going to pick heads. I was looking at the history of Gatorade showers for the Super Bowl coaches, and a lot of blue, a lot of orange, some yellow. 1 year was no Gatorade, which is interesting. Last year was purple. I don't know what that was about, but you know what's funny? I have purple Gatorade in my refrigerator right now. I don't think it's grape. It's not grape, but it's like Arctic something. But hey, that thing is good. Now, if they run that back and had that purple Gatorade again, that'd be dope. But it's been a while since we've had the repeat color of Gatorade. Since history tells me it's usually blue or orange, I am going to go with orange. We haven't had that in a minute. I'm going to go with orange. Yuck. It's still horns down. Instead of using money, I'm going to have some fun with this. So with the coin toss, if it's heads, I'll make a rap. I'll record a rap on Valentine's Day about Twitter/X crushes and thirst traps. That should be funny. If it's tails, I'll do a dance video on TikTok, a Park Heights strut dance video. So with the Gatorade color, if it does turn out to be orange, I will donate to a Stillwater or Austin charity of my choosing, or if anyone listening to this has a better charity I can donate to, then let me know and I'll consider it. And then if it ends up being any other color, I'll pick a mental health charity to donate to. Or maybe a suicide charity to donate to. Now, if you have any other bet ideas, you want to bet me, it's got to be fun now. No money involved. If you got any other bets you want to make with me, let me know. There's an open challenge. Nothing dumb. You know what I'm saying? Because nothing too dumb. Nothing, you know, too crazy. But yeah, I'll be on it. I want to have some fun with this. Might as well. You know, we can get creative. We don't got to use money all the time. I know I'm still doing the Super Bowl squares. I know I'm still doing DFS. But I don't want to do too much now. Enough is enough. But yeah, man, it should be a fun game. I can't wait. Can't wait to watch with my family again. I don't know how many of them are going to be there, but it's been a while since I've seen a bunch of them. So I can't wait to fellowship with them in North Carolina. It's going to be a great game. I'm probably the only one that's been just studying for 2 weeks about these two teams and really hype about the game, because this is a real life holiday to me. This ain't even a regular day. This is a holiday. So, you know, I'm all about it. And I can't wait till the game starts. Oh, my God. Chad Ochocinco being a receivers coach with the Raiders. Everything says this is real. I know how Ocho jokes and lies. But if you listen to the Unk and Oak show, the podcast. I love that podcast. It's my new favorite podcast. Like, Chad stretches the truth a lot, and he's hilarious about it. But, I mean, Antonio Pierce co-signed it, so he might be on to something. But, like Shannon Sharp said when he first brought this up about being a coach, will he devote the time and effort it takes to be a coach on that level? We'll see. I hope he does, because I think, you know, his personality and his ability to connect with people, I think it'll work wonders in that locker room. So if this is real, I like it. I like it, and it's really going to help the Raiders. Now, I don't know if that's going to help them beat the Chiefs, but, you know, it's a step in the right direction. I don't know if it's going to help them beat Harbaugh in the Chargers, but it's a step in the right direction. I ain't worried about the Broncos. They don't know what they're doing. So, yeah. There you go. We'll see. I like it. You know, this wasn't on the rundown when I was outlining the show, but I had to talk about it. I was just looking on Twitter and I saw that. It's pretty cool. This is for real. Okay. Let me go through some other topics real quick. Sooners basketball. The men are back on track. My biggest fear came to pass. They lost to UCF at UCF. I saw UCF put belt to behind to so many teams at their place, including Kansas and Houston, and I think they beat Texas as well. So I'm like, oh, we're going to go there and we're going to get it too, and then that's what happened. It's okay because OU beat Kansas State at Kansas State again, and Kansas State beat Kansas right after that again, which is mind-boggling, but yeah, that's the way it happened. OU lost to Texas Tech. I don't understand that. OU, they beat BYU though, and I like that. That's a good win. I'm proud of them for that. It's just been a roller coaster. But overall, this is a better team than last year. I expect them to make the tournament, and I think, you know, since we got Porter Moser and I believe in him, I think they can do something in the tournament, especially since they got really quick guards that can, you know, change the game. And they got solid players coming off the bench. I like their team. You know what I'm saying? They get the right matchups in the tournament, they can make a run. And I'm all for it. Because the last time we made a Final Four run, man, that was so much fun. That was such a magical ride. Now, a tragic ending, but such a magical run. I loved it. I hope for it again. Now, I keep saying belt to behind, belt to ass. That's a Patrick Beverly saying. And Patrick Beverly is, him and Draymond Green are the two funniest dudes in the NBA.
Facts.
They make me laugh all the time. But Oklahoma women's basketball, very proud of them. I mean, come on. They're really on a belt to behind tour. Because, like, they're leading the Big 12. This is a belt to behind goodbye tour. Because they're going to the SEC after this. Oh, Lord Jesus. We got to play South Carolina. Oh, Lord. We got to play South Carolina next year. Oh, no. Oh, boy. Yeah. The belt to behind tour in the SEC, that's going to be a challenging one to get going. But in the Big 12, definitely whooping tail and taking names. And I love it. They avenged their only Big 12 loss by beating K-State at home. And boy, I absolutely love it. I love it. I'm so proud of them. I'm so thankful for this coach, Jenny Baranchek. I don't know who was in charge of this search to get Jenny Baranchek, but it was genius. Genius. She is a great coach. I don't know what happened in the second round last year. I don't know what happened, but I think we're going to be fine this year. I think we'll at least get to the Sweet 16 this year. If they keep playing the way they playing, we won't get to the Sweet 16, and we might get to the Elite Eight. The way things was going last year, I mean, we had a Miami team that was a double-digit seed. They were in the Elite Eight. They were a ninth seed in the Elite Eight. Like, if they could do something like that, I don't see why can't. You know what I'm saying? I don't see why Oklahoma women can't. I'm looking forward to watching more of them. I hope I can make time to do it because they're playing really well. And that Southern loss, I'm actually thankful for that Southern loss. Not only because, you know, HBCU did something positive and put themselves kind of, well, Southern's already on the map in the black community, but it was a great win for HBCUs, them beating Oklahoma. But Oklahoma's the better team, the better program with more resources. They lost. And it had to have been a turning point, because at that point, they had like four or five non-conference losses. And I think they started to turn around after that. So, yeah, I'm wishing them the best for sure, man. Oh, Caitlin Clark about to pass Kelsey Plum. She will soon. I wish I could have went to that game in College Park, but I couldn't. I had to ref. Honestly, if I knew that game was going to be at that time, nah, I wanted to play football. It worked out well. I played pretty well in flag football, even though my team lost every game. Like, we played to sets of five in flag football pickup, and we lost every game. But it was fun, and I felt like I played well. And then also I wanted some time in between. I mean, some time after that to kind of recover and maybe do some lift. And that's exactly what I did. And that's why I chose a later set of games in basketball. And then I got two more games piled on after that. That's another story for another day. Long story short, I didn't go to the game. And plus, tickets were starting at $80. Damn! Every other game was dirt cheap. And of course, I watched the highlights of that game. Caitlin Clark, it wasn't just her shooting logo threes, because she was shooting and making logo threes, but some of the passes she was making. I think she had about 10 assists. Some of the passes she was making, I was like, good Lord, this girl is good. She going to go down as one of the greatest college players ever. Now, will they win a national championship? I doubt it. Especially since they lost Ohio State. They almost lost to Michigan State. They almost lost to Maryland. This is one of the worst Maryland teams in recent memory, and they almost lost. So as a team, they're still not that strong, but Caitlin Clark, what she's doing is unreal. Like, I'm just making up topics off the top, but you see what it is. But Sooners women's basketball, I'm so proud of them, and they're doing so well. Definitely wish them the best. Now, the Mystics. Our team is starting to look different. I don't know what's going on with Della Don. She's not signed. She's still a free agent. I haven't heard anything. Did she retire? I don't know what's going on with Della Don, but I need to check up on that, because she's our best player. She is the centerpiece. She is the star. She is the star. And the straw that stirs the drink. Come on, church, let me hear you. She is still one of the 10, 15 best players in this league. She is her. I'm telling you. So, I mean, we need her to be competitive. We lost Natasha Clout. Natasha Clout was arguably our second best player. And she's gone. She's with the Phoenix Mercury.
What?
Which makes sense. Because Skylar Diggins left to go to Seattle to pair up with, or to form a big three with Nneka Ogumike and Jewel Lloyd. They're going to be unreal. I can't wait to see them in D.C. Seattle definitely became much better overnight. So I can't wait to see them. But man, what are the Mystics going to look like? We got Carly Samuelson. We got Lisa Kunain, who I really liked and kind of had a crush on. When she was in college, but she's a camp body, so I don't know if she's gonna make the team or not. History tells me probably not, but we'll see if she can be a good backup. But we got Queen Igbo, so I don't know where she fits in this equation. I don't know where she finds minutes, but we'll see. We'll see. Maybe she'll outplay Igbo. Maybe she'll outplay Emily Inksler. Or I don't know. Maybe they'll put Inksler at four or the three. I don't know. We got her back. We got Emily Inksler's back. We got Dee Dee Richards back. I like Dee Dee Richards for lustful reasons. But anyway, we got those three, and I'm like, Carly Samuelson, she played for the LA Sparks. She was a solid starter for the LA Sparks. Her playing for us, I don't know. I don't know if we got Ariel Atkins. Let me look at this roster. We still got Shakir Austin. We still got Brittany Sykes. They're two of our best players. Definitely need them. I don't know what's going on with Deladon. I wish I knew. Let's see. What the heck? Yeah, she a free agent. So, Deladon's a free agent. So, I don't know what's going on. It still says she with the Mystics. I don't know what's happening here. I don't know. She is getting old. Like, she is like 33, 34. And she has a ton of injuries. So, I don't know if she's going to say. But still, she's still one of the best players in the league. Even at 33, 34, she's still one of the best players in the league. So, I would rather have her. Yeah, I don't see anything because our roster now is, oh, wow. They gave Ariel Atkins an extension. That makes sense. Ariel Atkins, Brittany Sykes, Maisha Hines-Allen, she's okay, but she's often injured. Well, she's in and out of the lineup. She's up and down with her play. Carly Samuelson's a pretty solid veteran. Shatori Walker-Kimbrough is a solid guard off the bench. Shakira Austin could be the face of the franchise now if Deladon don't come back. Queen Igbo is our backup center. Replace my girl, Amanda Zooey B. But she's a younger, more athletic, but can't shoot as well. Backup center. Emily Inkster, just talked about her. She was like a top four pick and got cut. But she's been bouncing around the league ever since. And she was even on our team. Now she's back. Dee Dee Richards, just talked about her. I don't know where she fits. I guess she'll be a solid backup guard. Julie Van Loo. Kind of like the Chinese girl we had. I forgot her name. I can't believe I forgot her name. Lee Mong. Yeah. She's just like Lee Mong, a pretty good overseas player, and now she's on our team. Maybe she's the new Lee Mong. I don't know. Pretty underwhelming roster on the surface, but we'll see. I don't know what happened to Deladon. I don't know. I've really got to look up on that. Who else are we missing? I know we're missing Natasha Cloud. Other than that, I don't know, man. We need Deladon back. We get Deladon back, I think we'll be fine. But at the end of the day, it's going to be hard to beat Seattle. It's going to be hard to beat New York. New York got everybody back. It's going to be hard to beat New York. It's going to be hard to beat Seattle. It's going to be hard to beat Vegas. I don't know how. It's going to be harder to beat Phoenix, even with aging veterans. And they got Natasha Cloud. So they're going to be hard to beat, too. So, and then don't forget Dallas. They're loaded. They're loaded with young talent. They got Twin Towers at center, and they got Arike Ogunbowale, who's one of the best scorers in the league. I'm like, it's going to be tough, man. I'm underwhelmed with this roster. I'm like, they're looking like the Wizards. I don't know who they're going to draft. Honestly, dog, I don't know. This seems like a pretty good draft, but I don't know where we're going to be. I don't know. Are we in the top four? Matter of fact, I'm about to look right now. Okay, I'm looking at a mock draft right now. So, okay, the Fever, of course. That's fine. Caitlin Clark and Aaliyah Boston. That could be an unreal combo that could terrorize the league. Cameron Brink and Angel Reese of the Sparks. Oh, boy, that's a crazy front court. But they got the Mystics picking at six. Paige Beckers. Remember, at one time, she was bigger and better than Caitlin Clark, but she got hurt. Bruh, if she plays anything like she played her freshman and sophomore year before the injury, we got ourselves a new star. Remember, I think when she was doing all this stuff, I was like, if we get her on the Mystics, it's over. We might get her on the Mystics. Imagine Paige Breckers. That would be a great replacement for Natasha Cloud. Oh, yeah. I'm all for that. We get Paige Breckers and her ACL is intact. And if she wants to come out. Now, I don't know. If she comes out and she is anything like she was before the injury, it's over. It is a wrap. It is a wrap, especially we get Deladon back. But eventually, Deladon's going to go, but we got a new face of the franchise, potentially, in Paige Beckers. And even if we don't get Paige Beckers, I mean, Deja Kelly, Haley Van Lift, I don't know. I don't like their ceilings more than Paige Beckers. Camila Cardoso, I mean, we got Shakira Austin. I don't know how that fits, but, I mean, she's 6'7", and she's just, that's one long one right there. Oh, my God. She's taller than Shakira Austin and will put on weight eventually. I like that combo, but I don't think that's realistic. I'd rather have Paige Beckers. I'd rather have Haley Van Lift. Georgia Amore, like, I don't really like her ceiling either, but I'd love to have Deja Kelly. I would love that Deja Kelly. She's a great combo card. And she has star potential, too. So, would love to have any of them, but definitely Paige Beckers, because I think her ceiling is the roof. I'm not Michael Jordan.
Facts.
But I still have that GOAT-level mindset. I'm just saying. Oh, man. The draft seems exciting. I still wonder what's going to happen with Deladon, but I feel like we can't go wrong with any of them draft picks. Hopefully we don't trade the draft pick, because this looked like a really good draft, and we get any of them. I'm serious. I'd be cool with any of them, but definitely would rather have Paige or Deja. But then again, Deja and Ariel Atkins, isn't that the same thing? I think Paige would be best. I think Paige, because I think she has the highest ceiling. But I'm very excited for the draft, and I can't wait. They could be the next Las Vegas Aces. Remember, you know, they could be the next Plum and Asia Wilson. Remember, they were both number one picks, and look at them now. So, I'm just saying. And they had Jackie Young. Jackie Young was like a number three pick. No, she might have been a number one pick too. Like, they got all these number one picks and get some free agents and boom, you got a dynasty. And then you had a coach. You got a coach like Becky Hammond. Get that in there. Boom, you got something special. That could be the Indiana Fever with Caitlin Clark and Aaliyah Boston. Man, I didn't expect to talk this much about WNBA, but boy, y'all got me excited. Oh, man, real quick, Dan Quinn to the Commanders. And they got Cliff Kingsbury. Hey, everyone says good things about Dan Quinn, and he did good in Atlanta and got them to a Super Bowl. He was a main architect of the LOB, you know, the Legion of Boom, one of the greatest defenses of all time. He has a pretty good resume. Now, the Cowboys defense, they forced a lot of turnovers. They got some sacks, but ultimately they couldn't really stop the run and got destroyed by the Packers. Nevertheless, everyone likes Dan Quinn, and everyone in the NFL circles, or most people in NFL circles, really like this hire and think this is a slam dunk. And with Cliff Kingsbury, I think his claim to fame is, well, A, he's from the Mike Leach tree, and anyone from the Mike Leach tree is offensive wizards. Because, you know, Texas Tech back in the 2000s put up a boatload of yards. And even in the early 2010s, up to Patrick Mahomes, amazing offenses. The Mike Leach tree is no joke. And Cliff Kingsbury is from the Mike Leach tree. And he was offensive coordinator for USC when they had Caleb Williams. Now, with this hire with Cliff Kingsbury and how it happened is weird. because I'm like, wait a minute. Because Cliff Kingsbury agreed to be the Raiders offensive coordinator. Then all of a sudden, he interviews for the Commanders, and 2 days later, he gets the job. And also, the Commanders are one spot away from potentially getting Caleb Williams, the hometown hero. So, either they hired Cliff Kingsbury to get closer to Caleb Williams and to kind of urge Caleb Williams to force his hand to, you know, get the Bears to trade him to the Commanders, essentially, or Cliff Kingsbury blew them away with his offense and his experience. I think the Caleb Williams thing is more likely. But that's a very interesting hire. And whoever they draft or go with at quarterback, they're gonna have a pretty good offense. I don't know what they're going to do on defense, but I think they got the guy from Seattle. But you're dealing with Dan Quinn. Like, Dan Quinn, defenses are usually pretty good. So, yeah. So, it looks like a good hire on paper. They're making steps. They didn't keep Eric Bieniemy, which I understand. Offense wasn't that good. A lot of the yards Sam Howell got was either in garbage time or against the Eagles' 31st ranked pass defense.
Facts.
Still show some flashes of him potentially being great or being a Pro Bowler or even an All-Pro, but ultimately, I don't think it was enough to show that he'd be a franchise quarterback in Washington. I think he'd have to have another year to prove that. And I don't think, because the team did so bad and he threw so many picks, I don't think they're going to wait around for that. I think they're drafting quarterback, and Sam Howell either goes to being a backup or they're going to trade him. So we'll see. We'll see. But those hires, cool on the surface. And you got your little new owner, got your little GM from the 49ers. Man, all that is great. But I got to see it on the field. Haven't been past the second round. You've only been to the second round one time. You've only won the division two times. So at the end of the day, you know what I'm going to say. You're going to have to put your left hand down and know your role. It's February and I still got to remind you. You already know what's coming every time. Until y'all start winning for real, you're going to have to know your role, which is third, mostly last place in the division. Now, the last thing I want to talk about is the Eagles in Brazil. Man, I can't stop thinking about this. I really, really want to go. I really want to go. I know my financial situation, I'm in the worst financial shape of my life, but man, I really want to go to Sao Paulo. This might be the turning point to finally get my act together and finally start making some real money, because I really want to go to Sao Paulo. I think this is a once in a lifetime opportunity, and this just came out of nowhere. There was no speculation. There was no one talked about anybody going to Brazil from the NFL. I didn't think that was possible. I didn't think they would ever do that. These guys are playing in Brazil. Man, I'm trying to go, man. I'm trying to go. Any means necessary. Well, maybe not any means necessary, but you know what I mean. I got to find a way. I got to go. I know I got some other trips lined up, like OU Texas in Dallas, maybe Myrtle Beach for the kickball tournament. Of course, I'm going to Ohio, and of course, I'm going to New York and Philly. Yeah. But Sao Paulo, man. Of course, I want to go to Charleston to see my aunt and them. Sao Paulo, man. Sao Paulo. I really, really want to go. It just sounds like it could be once in a lifetime type of trip. And my Birds are playing in the first game in Brazil. And now I'm just going to sit here and wonder, and maybe I'll ask the audience too, who are they going to play? My best educated guess, it would be criminal for them to take away our home game against the Cowboys, because those are very important games and we won't get to play them at home, but we got to go to Dallas? That would suck. I would hate that because the Eagles are a home team. And the NFL have really specific scheduling procedures. So you can look up the Eagles' home opponents. It's going to be one of those teams. After looking at their home schedule, it's either going to be a divisional opponent or I think the Browns or the Jaguars. My best educated guess, if I have to choose one, is the Browns. Because Deshaun Watson, Jalen Hurts, I think that's a great matchup. I know they like to send the Jaguars overseas to play different games. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's Eagles-Jaguars as well. But then you also got the Steelers. They got a big fan base, so that could work too. But the Steelers haven't won in Philly since 1967. Damn! It would be criminal to take away that home game too. I think at the end of the day, if you want max ratings, you go Eagles-Cowboys. But I think Eagles-Browns makes sense. I think so. You know, they got a good fan base too, but the quarterback matchup is pretty interesting. So I think that's a pretty good. And Eagles and Browns has been a week one game before. Remember, I think it was Michael Vick versus Brandon Whedon. That was like the turnover bowl. They both had a lot of turnovers. But seriously, that'd be a great game. And I think it'd be a good versus evil thing among the X users, especially the female users or lady women users. Between Deshaun Watson and Jalen Hurts, that would be interesting. So I'm going to go with Eagles-Browns. I'd be cool with that. I'm sure Gab Gowdy would go to that game. I'm sure FanDuel will send her to that game. And if they don't, I'm sure she'll find a way because it's her Browns. So, but we'll see. We'll see. I don't see the Saints going there. I don't see the Panthers going there. But we'll see. I'm trying to go to Sao Paulo. I wish if the Ravens were a home game, it would be Eagles-Ravens because you cannot pass up Jalen Hurts versus Patrick Mahomes. You can't pass up Jalen Hurts versus Lamar Jackson. But I think it's going to be a divisional opponent, the Browns or Jaguars, but I'm going with the Browns. That's my best educated guess. So, long show, but you know what it is. GoatLevelTees.com for all things Goat Level. And you already know, man. I'm out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Goat Level Podcast. Make sure you share, subscribe, and get money.